Japan's nuclear crisis is unfolding 25 years after the world's worst nuclear accident occurred in Chernobyl in what is now Ukraine. Back then, an explosion blew the roof off one of the reactors at a nuclear power plant. The result? Radioactive clouds spread over Ukraine and Belarus. The radioactivity then blew across northern and western Europe. Operator error and a flawed reactor design caused the Chernobyl accident, but Soviet secrecy and a lack of preparedness magnified the scale of the disaster. Bridget McCarthy reports.
Oleg Zhuk was a conscript in the Soviet Army back in 1986. He had just 2 days left in his military service when he and his unit were suddenly sent to Chernobyl.
It was on the 26th of April, the very same day when the accident happened.
They drove from Kiev, about an hour north, to the nuclear power plant.
We were told that a small accident has happened, that there was some kind of fire, and the radiation is not very high.
They stopped at a Soviet military base near Chernobyl and picked up dosimeters to measure radiation levels nearby. They quickly realized this wasn't a small accident.
It wasn't true. We have special equipment, and we saw that the level of radiation goes up. It's very high.
Then they walked over to Pripyat, a town of about 50,000 people just a mile and a half from Chernobyl.
There were a lot of people who just were walking around. I saw children.
And lots of young couples pushing baby strollers.
It was Saturday, and the weather was very good, lots of warm weather, and people just were calmly going around and watching what is going on. They saw this radioactive smoke and just were standing nearby and watching it. Nobody warned them that it's dangerous for them to stood there.
In fact, Soviet authorities said nothing for days. They tried to keep the accident a secret. They only began evacuating people 36 hours after the explosion, and they didn't tell them why. But here's what happened. Shortly after midnight on April 26th, operators at the power plant conducted a safety experiment. They cut the electricity to test whether the water pumps that cooled the reactor would keep working until the plant's backup generators kicked in. But when they switched the electricity back on, it caused a massive power surge. Pressure built up inside the reactor, and it exploded.
This is a real sort of conventional explosion, but in which it essentially threw a lot of radioactive material up into the sky.
David Hoffman writes about Chernobyl in his book, The Dead Hand, which won the Pulitzer Prize for general nonfiction last year.
It blew the roof off of the place, but the thing is that the reactor caught fire, and it burned for 10 days.
And continued to spew radioactive particles into the atmosphere. Hoffman looked through documents in the Soviet archives to piece together what happened next.
And I found in there a piece of paper that was a report by a fellow named Vladimir Gubarov, saying that there was nothing but chaos and confusion.
Gubarov was the science editor at Pravda, the official Communist Party newspaper. He arrived on the scene 8 days after the accident and was shocked by what he saw.
No emergency measures had been prepared. No one knew what to do, he wrote. Soldiers were sent into the danger zone without individual protective gear. He went on, the sluggishness of local authorities is striking. They were waiting for instructions from Moscow.
But Soviet leaders in Moscow were relying on reports from local authorities, who assured them that everything was fine. They'd put out the fire and there was no need to evacuate the population. But in fact, the fire was raging out of control. At first, they sent local firefighters from Pripyat to the roof of the burning building to douse the flames with hoses. Most died almost immediately from acute radiation poisoning. Then they sent in helicopters, according to Oleg Zhuk.
We talked to pilots, and only two of those helicopters have special equipment.
He says the rest of the pilots were hurling parachutes filled with sand and boric acid into the burning reactor. They were forced to work until they fainted. One pilot later recalled, it was like flying on top of a frying pan. A senior officer approached Oleg Zhuk's group and ordered them to help the pilots fill the parachutes.
And I took my special equipment to see the level of radiation. And just about 100 meters from those helicopters and those parachutes, the level of radiation goes high dramatically. And my officer told that my soldier won't go there.
So Zhuk's team didn't have to work with the helicopter crews. Oleg Zhuk was allowed to leave Chernobyl after 10 days. Over the next several years, Soviet authorities sent in 600,000 rescue workers, mostly military conscripts like Zhuk, to decontaminate the surrounding area and seal off the damaged reactor. Today, Chernobyl is ringed by an 18-mile uninhabitable zone. A UN report in 2006 found that roughly 50 people had died as a direct result of Chernobyl. But the report also stated that it's impossible to assess reliably numbers of fatal cancers due to the accident. And there's still huge debate over the long-term health effects. Again, reporter David Hoffman.
One estimate is up to 4,000 additional cancers may have resulted among the 600,000 people exposed to higher levels of radiation.
That's actually much lower than health officials had predicted. But many Ukrainians, including Oleg Zhuk, are convinced the real numbers are much higher. Zhuk is in his 40s now. When asked whether he's suffered any health effects from Chernobyl, he says he doesn't know. But he points out that his commanding officer tried to protect his team at Chernobyl.
Officer, he really cared about us. Probably he saved our health. Maybe life.
For The World, I'm Bridget McCarthy.